The ladies are away, the boys will play.
Anything can happen. It's gonna get crazy.
Dungeons and Dragons!
In the hit sitcom The Big Bang Theory, the ideal night out with the guys is a D&D party of adventurers guided by their DM or dungeon master. The fantasy war simulation with elves, bards, beguilers, necromancers, druids, and warlocks fighting or wizarding their way through an endless epic story was born in 1974, and less than 10 years later had more than 3 million players around the world. That number has more than doubled since. This week, the team at Retro Report looks back at the start of D&D and how it got the reputation as an anti-Christian cult. Bonnie Bertram, Retro Report producer, is on the D&D beat. You're a wizard or an elf or a
mancer? I'm not, but I certainly studied and respect them.
Of course you do. Let's listen to the news reports from the time describing, you know, what was seeming to be something really sinister.
This is a quest in a fantasy world of castles and dungeons, monsters and dragons. This world has become real to these people. It's all part of a game called Dungeons and Dragons.
Who was worried about Dungeons and Dragons?
Well, primarily a lot of Christian organizations were. We forget, but the TV and broadcasting landscape in the late 80s and early 90s was really dominated by people who were taking on a crusade, and Dungeons and Dragons fell right in line with the sort of values and worries that they had.
And let's give you a sense of who was actually going after Dungeons and Dragons.
The idea that there were people who were fundamentalist Christians for whom Dungeons and Dragons represented some kind of existential threat to my soul was silly. You could go around and have really satisfying arguments with, like, profoundly ignorant grown-ups.
Now, that sci-fi writer and blogger Cory Doctorow, how deep into this is he?
Well, I think as a kid, he was one of millions of kids who was super into it, and it was sort of a great pastime for them. And in fact, lots of after-school clubs today have Dungeons and Dragons programs for kids. But at the time, there really was this concern that kids were being drawn into this fantasy world and they were confusing their imagination with reality.
And confusing imagination with reality is what sort of growing up and being a teenager is all about.
Absolutely. And what better place to test it than the realm of imagination with some sort of parameters around a game, right? I mean, now you have kids, right? Like, you'd be thrilled to come home and see your kids sitting around a table and rolling dice and playing games as opposed to each one of them, you know, calluses on their thumbs playing their little video games.
No, it's true. My son is very into D&D, and you actually bring up a point that hadn't really occurred to me. Author Junot Diaz talks about another revolution of being in this epic sort of simulation that allowed things that couldn't happen otherwise.
This was a revolution. Being a bunch of kids of color in a society that tells us that we're nothing, being permitted under our own power to be heroic, to have agency, to do the hero stuff, to take and be on adventures. There was nothing like it for us. It was very, 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 very impactful.
So it really drew people of all colors and all races.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the common denominator was these were kids who were bright and they wanted to do something interesting, you know, when they had time together with you know, their friends, with your young friends. And I don't want to diminish the scare aspect because there was a string of murder-suicides that did have this one thing in common. But it's a classic example of, you know, correlation does not imply causation. And for a lot of these kids like Junot Diaz and other people too, Stephen Colbert was a young player.
Right, sure.
Ta-Nehisi Coates, too, it really empowered them and sort of unleashed their imagination in ways that other activities just didn't do.
And it's alive and well today.
It is. It is. I mean, some people play online, but really it's mostly played with kids sitting around a table talking through the various aspects of what the dungeon master is going to take them on, what adventures they're going to experience together. And it's really sort of a wonderful thing, live-action role-playing. It's great for kids.
And tech and 3D graphics doesn't put a dent in that.
No, there's this great one of the co-founders of Dungeons & Dragons, Gary Gygax, was talking to some kid once, and the kid said to him, "I like radio because the pictures are better." And I think for a lot of these kids, too, the sort of very basic aspects of using words to draw out your imagination is such a contrast to what they experience in the digital world that they kind of dig it.
Bonnie Bertram, producer at Retro Report, taking a look at Dungeons & Dragons, the epic adventure continues. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs.
Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.